is about prayer. That's what Wednesday nights are all about. It's about praying. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for the sick. Pray for the lost. Pray for the kids at camp. Pray. Prayer is one of the most important things for a Christian. But what is prayer? Let me just read something real quick, like from Ephesians. Before we get to the topic, which I'm going to talk about tonight, is Matthew chapter 6. That's going to be my main topic in that chapter. Put on my cheaters here. Just real quick, like before I go into prayer. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We are to pray for one another. The Bible instructs us that we are to pray for each other. But look what it says in verse 14. It says, stand. I want two words that I want you to look at. Praying in verse 18. And verse 14 says, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. An armor. We need to pray for the armor of God. Prayer in our Christian life is one of the most important things for us as Christians. Praying in verse 18, I just read verse 18 and verse 14. Praying is grammatically linked to the word stand in verse 14 from the word praying in verse 18. If you were to put the word pray in verse 14, although it says stand, but if you put the word there, it says, and put pray, pray in therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And if you put the word stand in verse 18, where it says praying, we could also say stand. Stand always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Now the word always means, in verse 18, means on every occasion we are to pray. Why? Because we are constantly being bombarded by Satan. The devil's always attacking in one way or another. So we must always be on every occasion in prayer. And notice that it also says in verse 18, in the Spirit. In the Spirit signifies that with the Spirit's help, such prayer for divine aid is to be made. It is the Spirit of God that aids us as we walk in the life of a Christian. So we must always be in prayer. And notice where it says too, watching thereunto. Watching thereunto means being vigilant in this very matter of prayer. We are not to pray just for ourselves, but also for one another. Spiritual combat is both an individual and a corporate matter. We need to pray for one another. We cannot go without lifting each other to the Lord. In 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Notice where it says, first of all. You could also say, most important of all, prayer. Pray, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Those are very important that we need to understand why prayer must be for us. We need to pray on a daily basis. Everybody has a different way of praying. Everybody has whatever you say to the Lord. We're not in no competition in prayer. We don't need to compete. It's not about competition. It's not how good or how bad. There's no such thing as a professional prayer. God is not looking for professional or elegant words. God is looking for what's in your heart. He wants to hear your heart. And that's what God is all about. Prayer is to hold a preeminent place in the church meetings. There are four different types of prayer that are mentioned here in Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. But also, let me turn to verse to 2 Timothy real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all, I'm going to read all the way to verse 4. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks being made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may be led, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. God loves when we pray. He wants to hear us pray. What is prayer? It's a conversation with the Lord. It's talking to the God, to our God. It's not praying to any other type of entity or idol, which a lot of other people have. You know, Buddhas and all these, they have their own little gods. They don't have no answer. The only difference is that there's only one God. It's our God. The Lord Jesus Christ is our God. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. First of all, well, should I say these three reasons why the prayers of verse 1 are to be offered for all men. One, you can read it in verse 2, that Christians may enjoy a tranquil life. We need to live a happy life, a peaceful life. We need to pray for our authorities, because it's the authorities who run the country, who conduct business with other countries, who are to bring peace to our country. But we may never see peace in this country until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. We will see peace on earth someday. Someday there will be peace all around the world when Christ comes back. Secondly, in verse 3, such praying is good and acceptable to God. God loves when we pray to him. God loves when we go. You know why? Because it shows that we depend on him. By faith, we go to God the Father. It is because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross that made it acceptable for us to get to give us access to God the Father. It's what Jesus did. And thirdly, such prayers help bring about the salvation of men, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. We are to pray for the lost. There are so many walking around. You have family members. You have cousins. You have brothers. You have sisters, parents. People all around are walking lost. You remember how you were when you were lost? What life was like? We must not forget what God did for us. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Be in everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, what does that say here? Be careful for nothing. What does it mean? Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. We don't need to worry. Too many Christians spend too many time or too much time worrying, being concerned practically over nothing. When we have a big God who put the stars in heaven, set the planets in their place, made the earth the way it is, all prepared for us. Everything we need is on this planet. And why do we worry? It's just a waste of time. The Bible says it means that don't worry about anything. The Lord's nearness leads Paul to forbid his readers, we're his readers, from worrying. Why do we worry? This is no summons to irresponsibility or an invitation to dismiss legitimate concern. The solution to undue anxiety is prayer in everything, in any matter of life. The way to be free of anxiety is to be prayerful about everything. We are to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Now, what is the definition of prayer? I'm going to get to Matthew 6. I'll get there. Prayer may be best defined as having fellowship with God. It is more than simply talking to God, but rather talking with God. You ever notice that a lot of people who pray, I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not a professional prayer. I'm still learning how to pray. Sometimes I lose words what to say to God. But the most intimate time is prayer, is when you're alone with God. Because when you're alone with God, it's great to pray with one another. It's great to pray in the church. It's great to pray in the group. But the greatest moment is when you're by yourself with God. Because you can let everything out. You just open your whole heart to God. It is a completely different story than when you are with a group of people. It's completely, because it's you and God the Father. That's all it is. It's just you and Him. So it's not just you doing all the talking, but you're talking to God, but we need to listen to what He has to say. We might not always like His answers, but the point is, we need to be silent after we pray. A lot of people I know, I pray with a lot of people. As soon as they're done, boom, they get up and they walk away. They don't even take time to hear what God might have to say to them. Doesn't matter how old we are. You just open your heart to God. Little children, teenagers, older people, talk to God, but take time to listen to what God has to say back. Because we're talking with God. We're just not talking to God. All too often, this simple, basic, bottom line definition is either misunderstood or simply ignored. Now I go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 5. It says, let me pray first. Father, I just thank You and I just praise You, Lord, that You give us the opportunity to talk to You, Lord. Lord God, there's just so many people, Lord, we all do things that we should not do, Lord, but we do not make time for You. Help us to understand, Lord, how important it is that You want to listen to us. So I pray, Lord God, that we can learn something, because when I talk to everyone, I talk to myself also. I got to listen to what I'm saying, but I believe what You say, Lord. So help us, Lord, and bless us with Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. In verse 9 it says, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There are 10 elements in this prayer that I want to share with you. According to Jesus' model prayer, which was given to us at the request of the disciples, there are 10 elements that I want to share. The first element is a personal relationship with God when we say, Our Father. He's our Father. We need to grasp the importance of the relationship when we are born again Christians. He is your Father. He is your daddy. He is your papa. And he loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. Do you want to have a relationship with him? How serious are you in your prayer? Our Father. The word our signifies the believer's brotherly relationship between himself and all other Christians. While the Bible nowhere presents the universal fatherhood of God, it does declare the universal brotherhood of believers. The word father signifies the relationship between God and the believer. You and I are the only ones who have the opportunity and the honor to call him father. If you're not born again, he's not your father. Many people say, I've witnessed to people, oh, he's everybody's father. Well, you know what? The Bible says, no. He is the creator of all things and of everyone, but he certainly is not the father of everyone except those who come to Jesus Christ and accept him as personal Lord and Savior. As you can see, when I get into the Bible by myself, I get serious. I get so intimate. I get so emotional about it because I feel the presence of the Lord in me. That's how we should be when we get into prayer with God. I know I said it last time, but we have to be intimate with God. He's my daddy. He's my papa. He's my pop. He's my father. The second element to the Lord's Prayer is, or it's actually the model prayer. God was teaching the disciples on how to pray. I believe that we'll learn how to pray each time we pray. We'll have much to say. Doesn't matter how you begin. But if you're a Christian, acknowledge the fact that he's your father. The second element to the Lord's, to the model prayer is faith. We need to have faith when we come to the Lord. It says, which art in heaven. The author of Hebrews declares that without this element, prayers are useless. You got to have faith. But without faith, it says in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You need to be diligent in seeking him. You got to come to God with everything, an open heart, open soul. Give him your spirit. Just open your spirit to him. The third element of the model prayer is worship. Hallowed be thy name. He's holy. The last time we had, I think it was Brother McCracken, right, that was here when he said, God is holy. He's holy. So when you come into prayer, it's like worship. Hallowed be thy name. David felt that part of the prayer to be so important that he appointed a select group of men who did nothing else in the temple but praise and worship God. That's all they did. In the book of Revelation, John sees four special angels who exist solely to worship God, who rest not day and night saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Revelation 4:8. You can see also Christ's statement to the Samaritan woman. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. A little story. A pastor once had the joy of leading one of the most wicked, men in his entire community to the Lord. This former drunkard, thief, and street fighter now glowed with the love of Christ. Shortly following his amazing conversion, he asked the pastor if he could give his testimony, which requested was quickly granted. Thus, this uneducated, crude convert stood before the congregation and with many tears related what Christ had done for him. He ended his testimony by quoting what had become his life's verse, "Hallowed be thy name." That's his life verse. "Hallowed be thy name. You are holy. You are holy, God. How can you love me? I'm no good. I'm a drunk. I'm a drug addict. I've done things, Lord, but why do you love me? Such a holy God. He loves me, but he loves you. He accepts you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. You've heard that before. But it's true. He loves you too much to just leave you like that. He will change us. He has changed us. If you know Jesus Christ, you know what I'm talking about. And if there's yet anyone who never accepted Christ, you'll never know until you give the opportunity to God. He can change your life. Certainly changed my life. Completely different story. Then he cried out, "This is what it's all about." It's the same person I'm talking to you about. He cried out, "This is what it's all about. The name of the Lord should be hallowed. We ought to holler it from the housetops." We as Christians should share the holiness of God and the love of God and what he's able to do to anyone, for anyone. After he was finished, the pastor observed his smiling congregation that if the truth were known, this new convert had captured the true spirit of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. "Hallowed be thy name." God is holy. The fourth expectation. I'm not too serious to you, are you? Am I getting too serious to you guys? Everybody's just staring at me. The fourth element of this model prayer is expectation. We are to live a life of expectancy. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. This kingdom is that blessed millennial kingdom spoken of so much in the Old Testament. Let me read it, what it says in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 4. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, in the mountains of the Lord's house, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." This kingdom was also later previewed by John in the New Testament in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. We got to live a life of expectancy. We have to pray with expectancy. The fifth element of this model prayer is submission. Submission. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus would later give the finest example of the element of this element of submission in Gethsemane. But we need to submit to God. We need to submit whatever God has in store for us. We need to submit whatever the commands of the Lord teaches in the Bible. We need to be submissive to the Lord. In Matthew 26:39, it says, "And he went a little further." This is the greatest submission, as far as I'm concerned. "And he went a little further," Jesus, "and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." If our Jesus Christ could do that, so that we can have salvation, why can't we do for God what he asks us to do? Why can't we submit to what God wants us to do? Petition number 6 of the Lord's model prayer. "Give us this day our daily bread." This suggests that praying should be as eating daily. Just as your body craves to have something to eat, just as your body thirsts, we should be hungry and thirsty for the Lord. That's our petition. Ask him and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and that shall be opened unto you. We need to ask God. We need to bring our petitions to the Lord. The seventh element of the model prayer is, "And forgive us our debts." Forgive us our debts. The blood of Christ will forgive us of every sin, but not one excuse. Only confessed sin can be forgiven. And I bet we all, even as Christians, we have confessions to make. And who best to give them to is our God. Jesus made a way when that curtain was ripped, when he said, "It is finished. It is finished." And the curtain was ripped open and gave us access to the very throne of God. We don't have to go around anyway. We don't have to kill any animals. We don't have to sacrifice anything. Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to go boldly to the throne of God. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We got to confess on a daily basis. Don't think, and I know you probably have too. I've heard from people that I've witnessed to, that I've talked to, they actually don't think that they're sinners. You know why? Because they always say, "Well, everybody does it. Everybody does it." That's because everybody sins. The eighth element of this model prayer is compassion. 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 As we forgive our debtors. We need to learn to forgive others. When they wrong us, oh, sometimes it can really get to you. Some can really hurt you. Really bad. And I know some of you have probably been hurt. Not to get into it, but I'll tell you, I've been hurt. In more ways than you'll ever know. But I'm not alone. I know you have too. Somewhere along the line in your life, somebody did something, somebody said something, whatever it may be. But as Christ forgave us, he had compassion for us. So we must have compassion for others as we forgive our debtors. If a man say, I love God, it says in 1 John 4:20 and 21. If a man say, I love God and hated his brother, he's a liar. Liar. I've actually told people, people have actually told me that they don't sin. It's just part of the natural way of life. I'd be honest. I'll be upfront. I tell them, you're a liar. You're a liar. Because if I tell you I'm like that, I'm a liar too. But you see, you're not a perfect person. I've had people tell me that. That is part of the natural life. But it's sin. Sin. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, and boy, I know many people who hate people. He is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, then how can he love God whom he hath not seen? In verse 21 it says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Christians, there are Christians that battle with one another. They battle. They talk about each other. They say hurtful things. And you've heard this too. Well, I'm only, as Brother McCracken says, human. We're all humans. Kind of got a kick out of when he said that. But we are. But that's not an excuse. There's never an excuse to hurt someone. I said, I'm just laughing at myself because what I'm saying to you, and I hope and pray you're listening, because I'm listening to what I'm saying. My middle name is, I'm sorry. That's my wife. Sometimes I do things I don't realize I do them, and then when she catches me at it, and I'm, Ricardo, what are you doing? What's it look like? Don't worry about it. You know? And then when we get mad at each other, because sometimes I say, Nanya. I remember the first time I said that to her, and she said, what are you doing? I go, Nanya. She goes, what's that? It's a Spanish word. Nanya. She goes, what does that mean? I go, Nanya business. And then we get mad, and we argue a little bit, and she goes her way and leaves me standing there like a post. And I feel that I'm right, that I'm right. I know that I'm right. 5 minutes later, I figure out I'm not right. So I kind of just kind of got to drag myself. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Would you like me to make you something to eat? Anything you like? You know, you want something from the refrigerator? You want to go out for dinner? I mean, I start, it's my way of apologizing. It's sometimes it's kind of hard to apologize, but we must apologize. We need to ask for forgiveness as well as give forgiveness. But we also have the ninth element is dependence. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It should be understood that while God has never promised to keep us from temptation, he has promised to preserve us in and through the temptation. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 4:13. If you decide to go on ahead with that temptation, you can't blame nobody but yourself. You make a choice. I make a choice. We all make choices. But whatever choices we make, we gotta suffer the consequences. But we need to depend on God to give us the ability not to fall into the temptations. I'm almost done. The tenth element of the Lord's model prayer is acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Forever. If you could turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I want to read something there. It says, let's see what David's great prayer in 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 19, where he actually anticipates the final part of Jesus' model prayer. Starting in verse 10. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee. Everything's God's. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. They're only returning back to what was God's in the first place. So what we have is not ours. Everything we have is of God and from God. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, and as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house, for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provisions. We need to acknowledge that everything is the Lord's. For thy kingdom come, and the power and the glory forever. It may be said that no sinner is saved without prayer, and no believer is sanctified apart from prayer. The prayer may be like Solomon's prayer, one of the longest in the Bible, with 31 verses in 1 Kings 8, verses 23 to 53. Or like Peter's prayer, one of the shortest, with one verse containing three words in Matthew 14, 30. But in any case, prayer must be exercised. We must always pray. Getting close, I promise. Why should we pray? Luke 18:1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's why we should pray, because God said so. That's the bottom line. Now, the word to faint means to lose heart. Precisely when tempted to give up, men ought to be strong in their resolve to prayer. Why should we pray? Because of the repeated command of God. Why should we pray? Because of the example of Christ. Why should we pray? Because of the example of the early church. Why should we pray? Because prayer is God's chosen method for what? Why should we pray? For defeating the devil, saving the sinner, restoring the backslider, strengthening the saints, sending forth laborers, curing the sick, glorifying God's name, accomplishing the impossible, giving good things, imparting wisdom, bestowing peace, keeping one from sin, and revealing the will of God. Why should we pray? Why should we pray? And I'll be honest, I know a lot of people don't make time to pray. A lot of Christians, we get lazy. We get lazy in praying. We don't have time to pray. Or I'm too busy to pray. Or I got to watch this program. Or I'm going to a baseball game. I'm going to a football game. I got to be with my friends. Come on, if we admit it to ourselves, some of us get lazy. And I'm talking to me too. I really am talking to myself. I'm listening as I'm speaking. Because I'll be honest, I've gotten lazy. And I ask God to forgive me. I have to ask God to forgive me. But the bottom line is this. The church has many organizers, but few agonizers. Many who pay, but few who pray. Many resters, but few wrestlers. Many who are enterprising, but few who are interceding. People who are not praying are just plain. We can't play Christian. Either we are Christians or we're not Christians. Either we're going to spend time with God or we're just going to live a life like there is no God. Some may ask, what answers will God give us when we pray? God may respond. That might not what you like, but God may respond to particular prayer in one of five ways. No. You can find it in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. He could respond yes. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2 and 4. He can respond wait. Hebrews 3:36, or he could respond if, 2 Chronicles 7:14, or he can just respond with silence. 1 Samuel 14:37, and 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6. I gave you the scriptures. You can look them up. Maybe they were too quick. You know, yes, wait, if, or just silence. He is God. He is God. Amen. In closing, I want to just read one poem to you. And while I'm going to read this poem, I ask you to please think. Are we lazy to pray sometimes? Do we get caught up in life that we don't make time to talk to the Lord? God has done so much for us. He watches out for us when the stars are out and your eyes are closed and you're sleeping and resting in your bed. He's watching out for us. When you're in need, are you hungry? You need food, you got a bill to pay. He's there. He will supply your needs. I know he will. I've seen the miracles of God in my life, and someday I'll share it. But I know what God can do. You know what God can do. You've probably had experiences of what God has done to show himself to you in many ways. But praying, no matter how you do it, whether you sit, whether you lay, whether you're on your knees, whether you fall on your face, whether you're taking a shower or whatever else, there's always time for God. Whether you're driving, whether you're walking, there's always time for God. And with this I close. Ways to pray. This poem aptly summarizes this subject the best. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Weiss, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Slow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Well, I pray while resting every day, said Mr. Henry Pack. So I should think you say your prayers while lying on your back. Last year I fell in Murphy's well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a-sticking up and my head a-pointed down. And I made a prayer right then and there, the best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a-standing on my head. So, if your prayers come from mouth and not from soul, God may just someday let you fall into a hole.